kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
I thought there was going to be free pizza.
Man, now I'm getting hungry for pizza.
Little Caesars.
They got rid of the deep dish stuffed crust again.
They don't know what they're doing.
That's bullshit. The stuffed crust deep dish is like the best thing that they have.
Joe, they don't know who they're messing with, is the reality.
Sons of bitches. They'll pay. They'll pay for this.
Sons of bitches will pay. People always rip on Little Caesars, but I was raised on that stuff.
Hell yeah, man.
And I was also raised on the inexpensive price.
Now, I remember when Little Caesars, their slogan was pizza, pizza, because their big thing was you got two pizzas for the price of one.
Yeah, and that big cardboard shelf that you'd put in your car awkwardly.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Like, yeah, I put it in the back seat and make the kids hold it and burn their laps.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. That was my upbringing. I still have the scars on my legs. So are we technically live and this is it? It's going?
Technically, it's streaming. I guess I'll do an intro if you guys want.
All right.
Yeah, do an intro.
Okay.
I like a good intro.
It's show 250. You should probably have one by now.
Yeah, you'd think so. What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast, episode number 250. We are at a quarter of 1,000. We're getting there. One of these days, we'll hit 1,000. No Chris today. He is, I think, traveling the Sahara looking for camels. And CJ has the shits because of food poisoning, and I'm not going to butter that one up at all. So, in his place, I am joined by two of my all-time favorite guests, Adam Rippon, Mike Micah. How the hell are you guys doing? Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you. We're doing great. It's an awesome new year. It's 2017. But when was the last time we talked? Was it like 2010 or something like that?
Christmas 2015.
Oh, wow. That's really? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Adam's been on since then. I think Bob was on, but you've eluded my grasp.
That's what I do. That's exactly
what I do. Yeah, he's a very slippery man.
You always say things like, "Ooh, I'm busy," but then like no games come out. So I think you're full of shit.
I'm busy getting games canceled behind the scenes, you know, that kind of stuff.
Scalebound's your fault, isn't it?
Well, I don't want to take full credit.
You son of a bitch. So for real, what have you been up to? It's been over a year since you've been on. First of all, can you believe my show's even still around after a full year of not being on?
Man, I think I was on a last episode one time, wasn't I? Yeah.
Yeah.
That happened.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we even pretended there was going to be a future episode because you said there would be no more episodes, and then now here we are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That hiatus lasted about, I don't know, 3 months. And then you've been on a few
outlet.
Then you've been on a few times since then. I like how we ended the show because I was worried that, you know, I wouldn't be able to do the show by myself without Chris. And now I'm doing the fucking show by myself without Chris.
Don't worry. We got your back.
Nice. I feel safe and secure now.
Yeah. I feel really weird because I'm in a green room by myself. Like a green screen room. And I don't know what the hell's going to happen because I feel like it.
Oh man!
Second green screen could turn into like a giant fucking lizard to attack me or something.
See, this is the thing that we're supposed to be like putting up
the possibilities
on
are
beam. Yeah, you're supposed to let users have fun with that.
Yeah, you should throw your camera on.
Yeah.
And then, well, I don't know how to do any kind of video editing.
What are you doing post?
If I turn the camera on, will you see me?
I don't know. Does your camera work?
His microphone doesn't.
Yeah.
Adam, you're dropping out a little bit because of the reception, I think, back there in the cement room.
Away from my feet.
I think adding the video is only going to make it worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a scientist.
Yeah. I also pulled my All right, I'm gonna. Audio, is that better?
We are getting like 3 frames to the minute here with your video.
Okay. Do you can you hear me and not see me now?
We can hear you better, I think.
I think so.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
We'll see what happens.
Yep.
If not, I have Mike here.
Yep.
Yeah.
So really, yep. What's going on with you guys? What is new in the world of Mike Micah and the bastard who won't bring Dragon Fantasy to Xbox?
I guess I'll start off, Adam, if you want.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
A lot of things have been going on, and like we were talking about before you pressed play, or maybe while you were pressing play, there's so much that's been going on that's kind of super confidential, and it's been taking a long time. We can't wait to announce, but there's been a lot of activity on the Digital Eclipse side as well as the Other Ocean side, and one of the big things we've been doing is kind of following on with in the same thing that we did with Mega Man. We have other projects along those lines, and they're bigger. Bigger franchise type stuff that we're doing, which is super exciting. And hopefully we get to say something around GDC or E3, I think is when those are going to finally roll out. And I think everybody's going to be super excited about those. As far as like the announcements and everything goes, all of them are going to come out this year, I think. Then on the Other Ocean side, there's been a lot of movement. And in fact, we've been setting up an entire new company around the idea of the kind of stuff we've been doing with iDARP, that kind of transparent development with crowd design and that sort of thing. And there's a lot of activity around that. We'll be announcing more related to that. But basically, if you liked iDARP, imagine now doing that with more money and more people and just kind of crazy, see what happens kind of stuff. That's what we're going to be doing. And so we'll be announcing more on that really soon. And I'm really pumped for that. And all while that's going on, we've been doing stuff for Verizon. We did this Verizon Kids tablet to help out because we do like OS and game stuff. So we helped them there. And then we have Yu-Gi-Oh! Updates and more Yu-Gi-Oh! That we've been doing with Konami since Konami's got nothing else going on. And we've got like a whole bunch of other stuff. That was mean. I love the Konami guys. I'm doing work with them. I mean, that kind of jab. I didn't mean that to come out the way that sounded.
It's okay. They're not listening.
It's because I'm waiting for more Konami stuff to come out. They just shown a Bomberman game, and now I sound like a douchebag.
Yeah, I can't. I can't wait for that. I'm worried though. Like a $50 price tag on that, dude. What the hell?
We don't know.
I'll pay $50 for Bomberman.
I think people put in prices too right now before something. You know, it was officially. I mean, did Bomberman get officially announced? I mean, they showed it in the video.
Yeah, it's a launch title.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. So it's $50.
Yeah.
Hey,
Mike, do you want to be my contact with Konami and get me a copy of Bomberman for review on the show?
You know, I'll probably have trouble getting one myself with those guys. Believe it or not, the US operation is really small. So it's, I bet you, like, even they're not getting copies right out of the gate. They probably have to go buy them, too.
Oh, God.
You know, that's the dirty secret of the game industry, though, is we often have to go buy our own games because we don't even get free copies unless we wait a while.
That's yeah. Ridiculous.
Most games I ever work on, it's like, I'm out there day one, too, like, I want to get my copy. And then if anybody says, like, oh, why are you so excited? It's like, well, I made the game. They're like, really?
And you have to buy it?
Mm-hmm. It sucks. Yeah, I remember I bought... several copies of games that we've done in the past. Like I bought my first copy of Little Nicky. It wasn't until like 3 months later or something that we got like a flat of like 25 copies or something.
Yeah.
I still need to get Little Nicky. One of these days it will happen.
You'll find it. It'll be like just in some thrift store.
Yeah.
Mixed in the underwear pile.
We do both give you permission to download the ROM. Yeah.
Well, at least I have permission.
Yeah. In fact, all your listeners can.
There you go, kids. Piracy is allowed this one time.
This yep, one time. This We're not going to tell you how to do it. You're going to have to learn yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I think my first ROM was downloaded in like 98.
Oh, man. Hmm. I don't know if Commodore 64 games count, but I was downloading them when I was like 12 or 13.
Jeez.
Yeah, that crap. That's the only way I knew games could be like acquired was copying them. I didn't know you could buy half of those things on the computer at least.
Yeah, I remember that too. Like, I had a Commodore 64, and I would connect to a BBS called the Disco Hospital, and I'd download all kinds of games. And as far as I knew, that was it. And then one day my dad took me to a store and I saw that you could buy SimCity in a box. And I was like, why would you buy it in a box? I already downloaded it. And he explained that I was breaking the law, and I started crying.
I'm the opposite. I had no idea that you could download shit illegally until like 98, 99, somewhere around there. Because when I was younger, I didn't really have my own computer. There was like a family computer that was shitty to the point that you couldn't even run Doom on it.
Will I ever tell you the story about Mrs. Cripps, the way I first encountered piracy?
No. Let's hear it.
Oh, it was awesome. Like, I remember going to school one day, and I was just talking about some game I was playing on the Commodore, and this kid behind me is like, oh, that game's old. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, you got to get all the new stuff. And I'm like, where do you get the new stuff? And he's like, Mrs. Cripps. I'm like, what? So he gives me this address and says, bring a box of discs and come over to Mrs. Cripps' house. And Mrs. Cripps was this, like, retired late 60s, maybe early 70s, chain-smoking grandmother of some guy who cracked games. And I remember riding up to her house, and I saw her lawn was just covered in dirt bikes. Like, other kids, I thought maybe this is like where kids go to die, and like she's just collecting stuff. Like, there they were, and then my friend was there, and he's like, come on in. So I went in. The first thing that hits you is all the smoke, because she's such a chain smoker. But then it's just all kids in there, and there's like computers set up, and they're just mass copying all the latest wares and stuff. And like, so I got my taste of game copying from that. And I remember, I didn't really have much to offer, but I was kind of good at hacking things, and she loved this game called Wizard. So I'd make new levels for Wizard, and I would bring that there as my currency to get new games. So I would give her a new, and she'd just sit there and play Wizard all day while everybody's copying, and she would just let me have any game I wanted.
Jesus. So you were part of a game copying black market underground ring as a child.
Yeah. And I didn't think anything of it other than like, oh, I'm getting all these free games. And like later on, I would find out that stuff was highly illegal, but at the time, I'm like, I didn't realize it was in Fagin's gang or whatever.
That's amazing. I've never heard that story. I've known you for how long, and I've never heard that.
I've been thinking about it recently, because I've told a couple of people about the story. I'm like, it's just amazing, because like, it was a whole year I would go visit Mrs. Cripps. And her son, I remember her grandson's name was Chris, but he had some handle. It was like, I don't know, like Prince Darkness or something. And like he ran a zero-day wares bulletin board system. So she would just get all the latest games from him, and he would just like be the starting point, and then she would just distribute. It was crazy.
Wow.
This is amazing. I never knew you had this dark side in you, Mike.
Yeah. Much later you find out, like, oh, crap, like this stuff's like at stores, and like my life's been a lie. Then you get all paranoid. You're like, is the FBI going to come for me? can't take my Kung Fu Master.
What's the first game that you actually like legitimately bought in a store?
Oh, it was what was it? It's a toss-up. It was probably the one I remember most was saving up money for and buying Karateka or Karateka or however you're supposed to say it by Jordan Mechner. That was the rotoscope cinematic like fighting game that like at the time it was like the most cinematic, amazing looking game. And I remember renting it, and I couldn't copy it. And I'm like, this game is so good that I will buy it. And so I saved up my money and bought the rental copy because they didn't get any more copies of it. So I got the beat up box in the game, but I could play it still, which was awesome. And that's the one I remember. Like I have to. And there was another one I almost had to buy. That would have probably been before that, I think. And it was it's a game called Way of the Exploding Fist, and it was like a martial arts game. Like, you see a pattern here.
Yeah.
And you know, it had to be Kung Fu. And I rented the game, and what I did was stupid, because like I had a modded 1541 drive that you would use the floppy disk and load them from. And the mod would let you write to a disk without a disk notch, because you had to cut the hole in the disk to write to it and stuff. And so I just left that on, and I had the original of Way of the Exploding Fist. And I remember I was like going back and forth copying it, and somehow I got the cycle backwards, and I started overwriting the game, the original, with a blank disk.
Oh, God.
And so, like, at one point I realized what was going on. I'm like, oh, shit. So I pulled the disk out and I put it in. I tried to load the original. It wouldn't load. So then I go into full survival mode, and I get, like, a disk editor out, and I'm looking at what's on there. And the game itself was still there, but the intro screen wasn't. So I bust out the Qualipad, which was this graphics tablet I had, and I create a new title screen from memory of what I thought it looked like. And I put that on there, and I make this fake loader to load the game so it, like, short-circuits everything. And if you'd seen the game before, you'd know this crappy kid made the title screen. But if nobody paid attention, there's this crappy title screen that just loads the game. So I did that. When I go to take it back to the computer store, they would always check the disc and they would make sure everything worked okay. And then if it didn't, you would have to buy it. And so I was all panicked and I didn't tell my parents that I'd done this. And so the guy puts it in, loads it up, starts playing the game. It's like, okay, cool, cool. And he just puts it over on the shelf. I'm like, yes. And that was the time I almost had to buy a game.
That is amazing. That is the rarest copy of that game in the world now.
Yeah, now yeah. I wish I would have kept a copy of that. Like this really crappy title screen. Like it had a great title screen. I remember mine looked like, you know, just like that deformed version of it. It was just awful.
Like the Mega Man 1 cover box art?
No,
it was worse than a Mega Man 1 cover box art. Because I was like, I was trying to replicate something that was clearly like by a real artist. And like at the time I had no skill. And so it was just terrible. It's like
just stick figures with a tree.
I bet you there's people who rented the game after me that were just kind of like, ah, I can't even get past the loading screen. It's so awful.
Game looks like shit.
I didn't even bother to play it. Yeah. I didn't even bother.
What about you, Adam? First off, Adam, what have you been up to? We should probably get to that, huh?
You said you'd punch me in the kidney if I talked about it.
Did I?
But then again, I'm not in the same room as Mike, so he can't actually do it. So I can tell you all about my trip to Japan.
Oh god damn it. I meant game wise, like are you finally working on an Xbox version of Dragon Fantasy?
So while I was gone, I did hear that that somebody might be writing an Xbox driver for my game engine. I don't know if that's still the plan, but if it did happen, that could happen. Yep. I'll ask.
It's the happiest you've ever made me, Adam. That's the hap.
Aw. Wow, that's really sad.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. I guess I need to think more about your needs, Joe. I need to think more about you. And the positively ones of copies of Dragon Fantasy also.
You could triple your sales, Adam.
So I've sold a third of a copy?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you add up all the piracy of the game.
There was the two you gave away for free.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Joe, do you want a copy? I've got a bunch of copies of it for PlayStation 4 and Vita that are the retail versions. Do you want one of those?
Sure, bring them on.
All right, I'll send you one.
Nice.
I
appreciate it. That's very kind of you.
Yeah. So yeah, what I've been up to, game wise. Do you want to know about playing games or making games?
I guess making, like what you're working on lately.
Yeah.
Things are very specific to you, Adam, because not everybody makes video games.
Yeah. Yeah,
I figure we would get to the stuff we're playing eventually.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure with Unity, pretty much everyone makes games now. There's like 100,000 freaking people making video games on Steam, and they're all terrible. But not all of them, just most.
It's like 98%.
Yeah, you're the problem, Adam. You're just like speaking about these people that like are unheard. The developers that are like. Their own issues going on right now.
Adam throwing shade at just random people he doesn't even know.
Yeah.
This is a show about positivity.
Well, yeah. You know, I came back to America and I got to start complaining and yelling about stuff more.
I'm true. You have to get back into the routine. That is true.
Yeah. I've been in a place where everyone is polite all the time for 3 months. So now it's time to yell.
By the way, Adam, Trump is president. This is going to be scary to you.
Yep. I was gonna ask if Mike, do we want to like move the whole company to New Zealand? We could probably stick it in Dan's house.
I'm sure he'd appreciate that. He's ironically here right now, so he's not minding the house. We could go over there and squat.
Let's do that. That's great. Okay. I was actually when I was in Hawaii last week, I was talking to the Uber driver. It was taking us from the Japanese store back to our hotel because Hawaii is basically Japan Junior. Like you can buy used Famicom games in the corner grocery store. It's amazing. She was telling me about her time in New Zealand, and I was like, "Do you just go to different islands across the world? Are you just like fuck continents?" I need ocean around me all the time. And she was like, she started to laugh, and then she was like, well, yeah, actually, yes, I do. Yeah. So, I guess that's a thing, just island hoppers, people who fucking hate continents. Anyway, the video games, I've been working on the same stuff Mike's been working on. I can't tell you about it yet.
Are you still with Choice Provisions? Which is unfortunate.
No. Oh, shit. Has it been that long since I've been on the show?
I don't know how many times I can try to get Adam to say what he's doing, like where he is and stuff, but like it'll eventually settle in.
Yeah. Well, I know last time I think you were kind of with them, but kind of like just like you weren't full time with them. Just,
yeah.
I don't remember what the situation was.
Yeah. I got laid off by them, and then I was unemployed for like 6 months. I worked on, I tried to finish Space Dave, and eventually they decided they wanted to do it in-house because I was too expensive. And to the best of my knowledge, Space Dave is never coming out. I don't know. Maybe it will. I hope it does because it's a cool little game. But I don't think it's going to happen at this point.
Bummer.
And then I joined up with Mike officially again in, what was that, September?
I think so.
Yeah, and the same day that he gave me the offer, I got another offer in Japan. And so I said, hey, Mike, can I come work for you, but also go to Japan for 3 months right after I get settled?
And I said, no, but he did it anyways. And so yeah.
Now he's unemployed again.
Yes, because he's wonderful. But,
Are you there, Adam?
Adam's walking into the dead zone of the green room again.
Yeah. No. My mouth got too far away from the phone.
It's always your mouth, Adam. Your mouth gets you into so much trouble.
Can you guys, but you guys can hear me now, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Kind of.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, I'm doing my best here. So, yeah, Mike actually said, yes, it was cool, because he was like, oh, I understand, going to Japan, that's the dream. And that was amazing of you, Mike. Thank you. Thank you so much for that.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
And now I'm back in a country that seems very different. I'm going to make some fucking video games, and it's going to be rad. And I'm right now, they're like, I asked the producer guy, who I don't think you know, he said, I might be working on one game, I might be working on this other game. They're both fucking amazing. So get hype.
Now, I know you can't talk much about the games or possibly at all about the games, but I'll ask you both. Are they at least coming to Xbox?
Yes.
Thank you, God.
Yep. Yeah. So the good news that you'll like, Joe, is that the game that I've been working on that's basically finished, but I still can't talk about, that game is using a hybrid of the engine they've got here and my engine. My understanding is that somebody's going to write a straight up Xbox driver for my engine, so it doesn't have to piggyback off of their engine for the next project. And I'm not sure if that's still happening, because I got to ask questions because I've been away for so long. But if that happens, I will try to make you a Dragon Fantasy for Xbox, even if I don't even ship it and I just give it to you.
That would be hilarious, actually. Just one single physical copy of the game.
Yeah.
That somehow works on my console.
I think you can switch. Can't you switch all of them to dev kit mode, Mike?
You can now, I think. Yeah, I think it's possible.
Yeah. So something like that. I don't know. Because, dude, going through requirements checklists and stuff is a nightmare. That can take months, even if the game's basically done.
Yeah.
So if I was to just make you a build and give it to you, would that get you to shut up?
Probably.
Adam, you could just you can make it one of those side apps, as Windows 10 side apps or whatever. It would work.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That runs on Xbox.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. We'll show me the ways, Mike. Show me the ways.
I'll show you the way to somebody else here who knows how to do it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm guessing Kevin.
Usually.
Yeah.
So these mystery games you can't talk about, are they looking to release like earlier in the year or later in the year?
I think it's going to be around summer and fall. We'll probably be having these things come out. I'm not sure which one is which and this sort of thing. And also, it's kind of out of our hands. We can move a little bit ahead, but there's other parties involved in these things. So
yeah.
I think ultimately the release dates. The reason we don't say them right now is because everybody's trying to make sure what's the right legal way to do it and stuff.
Are they licensed titles or original?
Yeah, they're like that's probably as far as I can go. Is there licensed? But if you imagine what Digital Eclipse is. It True. Brings back classic games and does like either like a really nice treatment of one or a collection and a really nice collection of games. And that's kind of that's what we have in the works or more of those kind of things.
Nice. I'm excited to see what kind of retro stuff is coming back.
Yeah. What's exciting for me is in the past when we were Digital Eclipse before, it was very challenging to get the kind of IP we wanted, the intellectual property. But after we did, Mega Man, a lot of people came up with some of the best we could hope for kind of opportunities. So now we're doing some really quality collections like Mega Man, but we're adding features and all this kind of stuff. So I can't wait to announce all that.
How does it feel to know that you guys put out such an amazing Mega Man collection and then Capcom just released 1 through 6 on mobile and they're dog shit?
This is just like Konami, right? Like, I actually have no negative things to say about these guys, and I actually know a little bit more behind the scenes why things are the way they are and stuff like that. So it's kind of challenging. It sucks to see these games come out and then like they get just piled on like that, and then to know the people who did their best and then know that there's reasons behind a lot of this stuff, and it kind of sucks. But yeah, those games, I downloaded it. I got so many people emailing me and tweeting me and doing all stuff and saying like, did you guys do that Mega Man collection? And it's like, which one? What? Because I didn't even know it was coming. They mentioned like the mobile, so I went and checked it out and everything. And I was like, ooh, it was. they're to say rough around the edges is the polite way. Probably they definitely had some issues going on with those games. And it's another thing too, where it's like, is the mere fact that you're putting these NES frame accurate like hardcore games on an iPhone even a good idea or not? Like, it's one thing to put them on there and have performance issues and all that stuff, but had they got it all right, would there be any less complaining because they would be such a pain in the ass to play on the iPhone anyways without a controller? It's hard to say. Like, that's the question I'm trying to answer for myself, because like, I think there's a lot of opportunity to put these classic games on mobile, but in the past it's been challenging because people are like, this is not what they're meant for. I think a disclaimer might be good. I don't know what other people think, but like, get a disclaimer when it starts up and say something like, these games were intended for gamepads and designed for a different platform. What you're going to experience is some sort of translation of that, but it's as good as it can be without a game controller or something like that, just so you can set people's mindset to it and say, like, you're going to get everything you possibly can for this platform. You're going to get controller support and all that stuff. But if you don't have a controller, good luck trying to beat any boss or anything like that.
Yeah, I think that was the main complaint, that it didn't have any kind of Bluetooth controller support.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
And performance, clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's so easy to add Bluetooth controller support to iOS games, and it's upsetting to me. But, like, when I did WoDave on iOS, like I wrote a special, like a very customized virtual controller for the thing that like adapted to where it thought you were gonna put your thumb, and it ended up being something that was really, really, really playable. Like, this, you know, one of the highest scores in that game is on the iOS version, on the high score tables. So, you know, I really want to try to get the opportunity to take a crack at this at some point. Like, I know Mega Man is probably a ship that's sailed, but like, I would love nothing more than to prove that you could do it in mobile with a virtual controller, but also have Bluetooth controller support, because I'm not a monster.
Yeah, I'd love to see them done right. I know I was excited when I announced them on the show, especially that they're only $3 each. But just the performance, man.
Yeah, the fact that it ran like 5 frames a second or 10 frames a second on my iPad Pro was disheartening.
Yeah.
But it was only $3 and it was like just starting the game up and listening to the theme music on the title screen looping forever. That kind of brought a smile to my face. I was like, I guess that's worth $3. I smiled today.
No, yeah, I don't think there's a shortage of an audience size for these kinds of games. And I think that's why the challenge to try to make these games work on mobile is worth it. It's going to be interesting to see. It would be amazing if Capcom said, okay, we're going to fix all the Mega Man stuff up and get that there. And that solves all the problems. I'm still wondering what are the next set of problems and the next set of problems. Because not everybody's going to have a Bluetooth controller. And most people, I would argue, that would download the game will not have one. And so how do you service those fans without making it seem like we made a bad choice?
I guess lucky for me, I'm a Windows Phone owner. So.
Oh, that's right. So Windows Phone means
I can't buy them to begin with.
Exactly. Oh, you get all the you don't get all the best games.
I don't get any of the best games.
Do you at least get like those knockoff games, the ones where it's like kind of like my title screen for Exploding Fist, where it's like it looks like Jetpack Joyride?
Believe it or not, there's actually a handful of Xbox enabled games still showing up every now and again. There were like 2 of them in December, which blew my mind.
What were they?
The one was, what the hell are they? Bubble Gurico.
I love that game.
And then there was some like auto clicker. I can't find the name of it.
Well, that's the thing is like the Windows Phone's actually really nice. I just wish there was software on that and people like could have just it's a pain. It's just like it's like having a Dreamcast, right? Yeah. It's like why is this going away? I like it.
I think there's more games for Dreamcast coming out right now than there are for Windows Phone.
There probably are.
Or another one, PSVR seems to be pretty ignored right now too.
I'll give them credit. There was a lot of titles actually for it.
Yeah,
which blew my mind. I thought it was going to be one of these like, hey, here's the 8 titles, and then just sit and nothing else coming out. But there's actually a sizable library for it, more than I was expecting.
There's just been nothing in like the past month, though.
Oh yeah, I don't think anybody was expecting it to succeed. I think like. No, and I don't mean this like really negatively. I'm looking at it just in general. The whole VR space, the sales aren't really there.
Yeah.
And so you put it on the PlayStation. I don't think people were expecting it to be the runaway success it was, other than like Sony hoping for it. And then here it comes, and everybody bought it, and now there's just this drought. But we'll see what comes out. There's a lot of opportunity. There's so many VR games on the other platforms. If you think about it as a developer, you have Vive and Oculus, and the PSVR now is like – it's sold twice as much of those two combined pretty much.
Yeah.
Or at least more than those combined. And so if you've written or created a VR game, there's just not much work to then go to PSVR and probably make money.
Especially so for the thirst that PSVR owners have. All you got to do is release a decent game right now and you'll make money.
I'm grabbing every game that has just mild support, like Cat Lateral and stuff like that. Where I'm like, I'm getting this because it has PSVR support.
I had Cat Lateral Damage, and I fucking love that game.
I love that game. I knew it was just going to make me nauseous playing in VR. It's like, but I don't care. I'm getting it. It's Cat Lateral Damage.
Yep. I spent the last, so when I was in Japan, that's what I was doing, was working on a VR game. I spent 3 months in like this little Japanese style tatami mat room with a VR camera hanging from the ceiling and a big screen and nothing else in the entire room. It was really weird. But I made a cool thing. We'll see if it turns into a real video game.
What platform is that going to be on?
I was building it with an Oculus Rift and the touchpad controller things. What are they called? Oculus Touch? I think that's the official name. And it was pretty rad. But I mean, like, I don't really love working in VR. Like developing a game in VR when you wear glasses means that you have to like take your glasses off and put your headset on like 78 times a day. And then when it crashes, it just like goes like, and you're like, So, like, crashing literally makes you want to vomit. It's a challenge. Making games in VR is not easy.
Well, hopefully I'll eventually have a...
Which is not something I...
You're breaking up again. God damn it, Adam.
Sorry.
Stop wandering around.
Maybe I should... I'm not. I'm sitting completely still.
I don't believe you.
I am. I'm sitting in a chair.
Well, then stop streaming porn on your phone and killing the connection.
Yeah. No, but I love it. I mean, like, between your voice and the ladies on the screen, it's really getting me going.
Take it off for me, Adam. Oh, yeah. You look so beautiful.
Lady one
today
is Mike, and lady two is Joe.
I'm your mom, Adam.
Oh, no.
Oh, Michael, you've been such a naughty, naughty boy today.
I have, Adam. And I have pirating software all day.
Speaking of software, yeah, Adam, what's the first game you ever remember buying? Personally or like your parents bought for you, but like you made the call.
I think my parents bought me that copy of SimCity to show me that I should not, that I can buy video games, and then never let me buy another video game because they didn't have any money. But the first video game I bought with my own money was Gradius 3 for Super Nintendo.
Nice.
Yeah. It was, my dad got me a Super Nintendo with Super Mario World and F-Zero the year after it came out, I think. The Christmas after it came out. And I bought Zelda, and I bought Gradius 3, and then I bought Zelda. And I fucking love Gradius. Or Gradius, if that's how you want to pronounce it.
You know, we were talking about this online. Like, I think the pronunciation is Gradius, but it's, I think it's from the Latin word gladius.
Yes, like, I'm pretty. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've always been a Gradius guy.
Me too. I've been Gradius my whole life, and you know, it's like, it's hard.
It's just like Galaga, Sega, and Galaga. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. We're just talking about this online, right? And it's just like, oh, this is so painful. Or Karateka or Karateka, and
yeah. Is it Galaga or Galaga?
I think the creator was going with Galaga.
Fuck and that.
I know, and I think everybody else who's intelligent says Galaga, but it's really
I've never heard Galaga.
Then again, I'm still the guy who refuses to call him Ryu. He's always Ryu to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Fuck the world.
I met a lot of people with the actual name Ryu, so it's like,
can't help it.
Finally got over it.
Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. He was Ryu. So,
Final Fantasy IV, is it Cecil or Cecil or Rydia or Rydia? I actually did a panel at PAX, and I said Cecil, and some dude in the audience went Cecil. And I was like, dude, he's a dark knight. You know, maybe when he's a paladin, he's Cecil, but when he's a dark knight, he's freaking Cecil.
Name's Cecil. Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
This is my panel. Get the fuck out.
Right?
Yeah. What would somebody call him, Madden? Would it be a Madden? Something like Madden. They didn't know anything Madden about sports.
Yeah. Madden 18.
I got Madden 2017.
Jesus.
That'd be amazing.
I would love to meet somebody like that. I'd be like, I'm changing it to that. I don't care. That's what I'm going to say from now on.
Super Mario Brothers.
Or Gaiden, right? Ninja Gaiden. People are like, Ninja Gaiden. And it's like, I guess it's Gaiden, right? So
yeah, it's Gaiden. But yeah, I still say Ninja Gaiden.
We used to call him,
like,
our friend,
I don't think there's anybody.
We used to call our friend Denny Gaiden.
Oh, my Lord. It's all about crazy pronunciations.
Mm-hmm.
Like Adam Rippon or Rippon or Groupon.
Yeah.
It's Rip-on. Closer to Groupon. Closer to Groupon. It's Rip-on. But
I'll still say Rippon.
You know,
because I have a bad memory.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I realized? It took me forever to figure it out. I'm like, it's an O. Why would you say N, you know, at the end? And then I realized Rippon. And I was like, oh, okay, now I get it. I get it. I understand.
Yeah, your B's are just upside down.
Yeah, my bees are upside down.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been a problem my whole life.
Fix your bees, Adam.
Yeah.
Got to raise those bees up.
Yep. I'm going to work on my
bees. Drop your bees.
Yep.
The first game I ever personally got to pick out, like in a store, my mom, my brother, and I, in Kmart, NES Wizards and Warriors.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a pretty good choice for first game that we ever picked.
That's pretty good.
Too, yeah.
And it certainly makes up for the first NES game that we ever got, which was Star Voyager.
Oof.
I don't even know that one.
It was like a poor version of Atari 2600 Star Raiders, which was already a poor version of Star Raiders. So it was like a third generation bad version of that first person space game.
Just imagine a 5-year-old getting Star Voyager as his very first NES game.
Yeah, you're looking for some cool cartoon characters, some badass action, and you just get like a crosshair.
Like,
some dots moving around.
I don't know what I'm doing. And then,
space.
First game.
Mike, you're going to have to show me this when I get out of here. This
you're going to have to check it out because it is.
Yeah.
It is quite possibly the worst NES game. Like, I think it would have been better to get, like, Master Hugh and Drunkard Chew or whatever the fuck, like, the shitty knockoff game was. Like, there's some bad stuff, but for a 5-year-old Star Voyager, oh, man.
But, you know, I have to admit, though, like, I was, like, a connoisseur of really shitty games because I didn't have much money, and so you'd always get the cheap, crappy games. You'd see something on the shelf. Like for Atari, I was always going after the Data Age games where it's like, I remember I was so excited because one game was like $5. I'm like, $5? I can buy like 10 of these things. So I bought this game called Snake because it had like these S's, like Snake. And I'm like, oh, this looks good. The art was awesome on the cover. And I got home and I couldn't even figure out how to play it. I read the manual, which I never did. And I was like, I can't. It was the first game I returned. It was a $5 game I returned.
Oh my
so I'm like,
God.
I can spend my $5 somewhere else. And I never returned games. It was so bad. And then, I go after other Data Age games because, like, they're $5. Eventually landed on Frankenstein's Monster, which is kind of like a Pitfall-ish game and stuff. And that was pretty good. But, man, I would buy all the crappy games. I was the guy at the arcade who was just, like, would play the games nobody else would play because I didn't have to wait. So it's like, oh, I only have so much time for my parents have to leave, so I got to play something to make Puyan. And I'm on Puyan again. Or whatever, you know, or Bosconian or all these other games, which I still love, but, like, nobody touched those games.
I was always in line waiting for Rampage.
Oh, yeah.
We have a Rampage machine here, don't we?
No, we have Rampart.
Rampart.
Yeah.
Significantly awesome. Different game.
Very different.
Like, yeah, very different game. Yeah. I could have sworn there was one at one point like 20 years ago in this. But, I mean, a long, long, long time ago, Digital Eclipse did a Rampage for, was it Game Boy Color?
It was featured in the movie The Beach. Leonardo DiCaprio was playing it.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Very fancy. Right before he destroyed an entire island, right?
Yeah, well, because like, basically, but it was foreshadowing for the shark attack. So you see him playing the game and like eating people.
I get the weirdest trivia on this show.
Yeah, right. Speaking of like shitty games, you know, when I was a kid and I would download those games off the BBSs for the Commodore 64, I think like half the time they wouldn't work, you know, and I think it was probably because they were stored on like some dude's shitty 80s hard drive that was like flipping bits, you know. And so I'd download these games and they'd kind of work and then they'd glitch right the fuck out.
Or no, that's because they were PAL versions. That's why. So the timing was off on your NTSC machine. And people would just like share these PAL games until somebody would fix them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I remember I started thinking of, what was it? A Touch of Class? Was that one of the hacker groups?
Yeah.
I started thinking of them as brands. And like, I was like, oh, the A Touch of Class games all work really great. So
all those fantastic. Fairlight games are amazing. Triad is an awesome publisher. You thought they were publishers, right? Like all these publishers giving shout outs to people and like totally ripping on others. It's pretty good.
Thanks for that. We should convince publishers to start putting shout outs in the front of their game.
Oh, I've put shout outs in games, that's for sure. Because I'm like, this has got to keep going.
Yeah.
Shout out to Red Factor 5.
Shout out to the SML podcast.
Shout out to the SML podcast.
Yeah. I'm going to look for that in your next release.
Yep. It'll be on a sinus. It'll be like one of those like wavy text things going across the screen with like some crazy arpeggio music going 8-bit style.
Yeah.
In whatever game you guys do next that you're able to do it, because I'm not sure if like licensed titles would allow it, but you need to have the credits in the game just like shitty scrolling parallax visuals with like the wavy text straight out of the 90s. Like, you need to do that for your credits in the game just to confuse everyone.
Like, all of 10 people will be like, oh, that's amazing.
It was a very touching, dramatic game. It was, you know, very intense, mature storyline. You know, it didn't talk down to the viewers or to the gamers, but the credits, something was up with those fucking credits.
They're on acid or something.
Yeah. It's like watching Schindler's List or something, and then the credits start rolling and goes
like the intermission music for Monty Python.
Shout out to the German tracking service.
Oh man, see, you guys get all the best ideas on this show. Speaking of a year and a month ago, we talked about you meeting up with people about Def Jam. Did anything ever come of that?
Ooh, a little bit, yes. I think it's I think we are poised to be able to do something with that. It's just a matter of like who we get for it, for sure. So it's like, it's not a question of like, can we or can't we or and stuff like that. So now it's just a matter of like, we got to come up with a good idea, have the time to do it and get the right people. I did
can
take
you
a few steps to, Def Jam. So being able to work with Def Jam Records, remember,
the
different Def Jam games. Yeah. Which
are
awesome.
Fight for New York, which is still like one of the greatest fighting games ever.
Yeah. And like, I think it's time for those to come back. The thing is, the more we talk about it, the more somebody else is going to try to do it probably too. And then, it was just one of those things where it's like, it's super exciting. And it's just a matter of getting the right people, both the personalities we can have in the game and also the people that we can get together to make it. Because there's a certain handful of people I have in mind that I feel like I can't do the game without. And so it's a matter of getting them kind of freed up from what they're doing right now. So that's my dream. My dream is to get that game off the ground. And I would ideally like to produce that game transparently like we did with IDAR, where it's just have all the fans start throwing in, and we put out builds of the game early for everybody to have access to and just contribute ideas and everything like that and try to get that game perfect.
I seriously can't fathom what EA was thinking when they had Def Jam Vendetta, which was really, really good, Def Jam Fight for New York, which was fucking amazing, and then they put out Def Jam Icon.
Yeah.
Which is just hot, hot diarrhea on digital media. Like, what the hell? Icon.
It killed it basically. So
I think that killed EA Chicago, didn't it? Because they were the Fight Night devs, and then they did Icon, and then they were kind of shut down, weren't they?
I'm sure. I mean, I don't know the details there, but it sure feels like it. It was kind of a shame too.
Man, heartbreaking.
Absolutely.
It hurts the soul.
But now enough time has passed, and hopefully we can do right by the IP and the people involved. That would be pretty awesome.
Is that something you would develop in-house, or would you try getting in touch with Aki, the guys who did Vendetta and Fight for New York?
I think that would be probably the more ideal approach, or getting together like the strike team that you know is capable of doing this the right way. It's one of those things, a classic thing that happens in game development all the time, is just somebody will inherit some IP or some game and think they can do better than the people who've done some of the best work in that franchise and set out to like make their mark, and it just ends up being a dud. And that could have been what Icons, basically, like what happened there. And like, you see it all the time in different franchises when the torch gets passed. And I felt that way even with the Crash Bandicoot games and stuff like that, where at some point when Naughty Dog left, they just went downhill and all kind of stuff. So it's just a matter of like, I don't know, getting the right people back. And it would be amazing if we could get the original development team to pull it off.
Oh, man, they have gone in such a crazy direction.
Mm-hmm.
The they're no longer Aki Corporation, sadly. Ready to Rumble Revolution on the Wii was the final game as Aki Corporation. They are now Sin Sophia, and they have put out games like Style Savvy Fashion Forward.
You know, if any of the same people are there, that's the big question, that worked on these huge games in the past, like, you know, they're just chomping at the bit for the opportunity.
Yeah. they only have three games under Sin Sophia that have left Japan, and they're all the three Style Savvy games on the 3DS.
Are they good? That hurts. Have you actually played them? They might.
No,
be
I haven't. I have not. So it is time to hit up Sin Sophia and see if they still have the manpower to create a new Def Jam fighting game.
That would be awesome.
It would be amazing.
And I would love to do stuff like that on, like, we haven't even talked about the Switch, but stuff like that would be really fun on the Switch with all the local multiplayer support.
Oh, God, like, yeah. What are your thoughts on the Switch since you brought it up?
I was pretty pessimistic about it when they announced it, and then now I'm all getting excited for it because I'm just a fanboy. So it's just like, I'm just like stoked because Zelda obviously is going to be huge. And I'm not, to be perfectly honest, I'm not the biggest Zelda fan. I don't buy a system for Zelda usually. Mm-hmm. But this one looks so good. Like the Zelda games that I enjoyed most, and I didn't start with the NES Zelda. I kind of wasn't into it back in the day, even though in hindsight, I love the game. But like then I was just like, meh, Ghosts and Goblins is more my jam. But now, like, I look back, and the games that really affected me in the Zelda line were basically the Super Nintendo Link to the Past, and then Ocarina of Time, and now this one is grabbing me like those two games did from just an external view, looking at going like, oh, I really want to play that game. It's the same effect. So that got me, that pushed me over the line to pick up a Switch. And so I pre-ordered that sucker after looking at that longer trailer and being like, ah, I can't miss out on this.
And you're Team Neon, right?
I am Team Neon, and I could care less about anybody else, so don't even talk to me.
You could care less, Mike.
I could care less. You know what? If you want to be the shitty version and that's your choice, like, I honor and respect that.
No, I'm pointing out that you said you could care less, which means you care, Mike.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, I don't.
Yep.
So you couldn't care less.
I couldn't care less. Yeah, you're right. I couldn't care less, period.
Thank you. Yeah, I need to double check with GameStop. When I went in to pre-order mine, they didn't have a SKU in the system for Neon yet. So they took people's names down of who wanted to be switched over to Neon, and they said they would switch us over. I just haven't verified yet, so I should probably get on that.
You should, because how are you going to tell who is who without the red and blue? I mean,
seriously.
I don't want to go into all that, but let's just say on a top level, it's just the intelligent move is ready to get the color one, blue.
Yeah.
Plus, I want that blue one.
I want the neon, but I think I am with the gray. But I'll just buy some neon controllers and then stomp on the gray ones until they're dead.
Yeah, that's what, you know, I'm being exceptionally cruel because I know a lot of people could not get the neon controllers, but
well,
fully intend to throw them away the moment they can to get the neon controllers. I would just prefer they don't say they even got a Switch until they've done that.
Yeah.
Hide the fact. Just hide the fact that you own one until you drop the $80 on the neon ones.
Exactly. Trade in those great ones.
I'm not going to even play Zelda.
Don't trade them in. Fuck that. Be a man and smash them like Adam.
And look, yeah. I am all about perpetuating the idea that Zelda doesn't even work with the gray controllers. I mean,
yeah, it does.
It says it right on the box.
Yeah, it says
neon only.
B Team Neon.
The only games that otherwise work with the gray controllers, I can tell right now, are the lazy ports that are coming out. But that's about it.
Mm-hmm. I think Dance and Skylanders are the only two.
Yeah, those are the only two so
Zelda
far.
And you've got, if you put in Zelda and you've got the gray controllers, it just goes to the greet screen and stays there forever saying loading, you know, and greeting all of Miyamoto's homeboy.
Miyamoto pops up. He's like, please buy neon controller. Thank you.
Please understand.
And then it just shuts down.
Yeah.
The console shuts down.
Completely shuts down, yeah.
And it doesn't turn back on until you connect the neon.
It uninstalls all your other software.
Yep.
That'd be amazing. It'd be horrifying, but it would be amazing too.
I like the idea that's just one big like psychological experiment. And Nintendo doesn't plan on producing great controllers. They're just screwing everybody.
I got a couple of friends who are making a video game that you can only play once, and when you die, that's it. You can never play it again. So the idea is that like people just watch other people playing it, and it's like a fight for survival kind of thing. And it would be really cool if they put that on the Switch, and it wouldn't play if you didn't have Neon controllers, and if you tried to do it, it would just set your console on fire. Just burn it to the ground.
I wonder if there's a way to detect that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it would be amazing if you could detect it. I mean, you could, like Mario Kart, remember? It's like, oh, you've got the steering wheel controller versus, like, whatever, the arcade controller, the pro controller. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you would see that in the leaderboards. It'd be cool if, like, in the leaderboards, you just see, like, the gray controllers, but it has, like, a little poop icon next to it and stuff like that.
Like a little middle finger icon.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Nintendo has a way to tell what color the controllers are so that they can, like, color code it to each player.
So they could just tell which one to suppress the inventory on. Like, that's kind of their motivation, right? Oh, there's a lot of people who want the Neon controllers. Cut the production in half.
Yeah.
They have that like the sensor in the one Joy-Con, and when you're holding that one and it's a gray one, it's like reading your fingerprints, and it actually logs into your social security number, and it just like deletes your history as a human being. So you're dead.
Yeah.
As controversial as that is, that would probably get rid of a lot of problematic people in society.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of would.
Mommy, my game's not working. Well, you're dead to all of us. So
yeah, we always thought you shouldn't have been born.
And now Nintendo fixed that. Thank you, Nintendo. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you guys working on any Switch stuff? Are you allowed to talk? Or
we are talking about a couple things right now that, but not in time for launch. But I think a little bit after that, hopefully, we'll have one or two titles that come along. Our challenge is, like, let's work on something that just takes advantage of the system versus trying to do some of these, you know, kind of the port that has a special Switch mode or something like that. Yeah. So, thankfully, we're in a position to where we're a little picky. But, you know, if a project falls through here or there, we'll be like, hey, you know, whatever you want, I'll do the next Just Dance and whatever.
Do you think Capcom might hit you guys up for a Mega Man Legacy Collection on Switch?
That would be awesome. We haven't talked to them at all about that yet. And that would be really cool.
That could be an opportunity to re-release the gold Mega Man.
That's right. And you know what? Like, since it uses your iPhone and your mobile phone for all the matchmaking and all that kind of stuff and cool features on the side, like maybe we just put a mobile version that just comes with that.
That'd be neat.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. That'd be a great excuse.
That really would. That's a free bonus. That.
Yeah, here's a good version of Mega Man. Runs on your iPhone.
I'm proud to say I have my gold Mega Man sitting on a shelf behind me.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm very
proud.
That
really did turn out pretty good. And that was, you know, that wasn't the most expensive or, you know, didn't have as much time as we probably would have wanted and all that kind of stuff. And it was just all around, it was just one of these labors of love from both Capcom and our side, which was great. And I'm glad that that's paved the way now for a bunch of stuff. The team did great on it.
Man, there's so many cool amiibo coming out, too. Like, those Zelda ones for Breath of the Wild, holy shit, some of them look crazy.
I could care less about their functionality now. I just like how they look.
Care less, Mike?
I couldn't care less. I couldn't care less. There's probably a lifetime of saying that's now trying to get, like, trying to reprogram that right now. It's terrible.
We can fix you.
Yeah, you can fix me.
I own like 8 or 9 amiibos. I've never used them for anything. I don't even really know how it works. I know you stick it on the DRC and it does something, but like never done it. I just wanted the toys.
I don't like one step beyond that. I don't even know how I got them. I just keep accumulating. Like I'll come into the office. I'm shocked I even have more. I don't know how I bought them, why I bought them. I just like it's blanked out in my like I just don't have any memory of buying these things, but I do it.
Video game companies are basically like Toy Story. You know, when we're not looking, the video games are reproducing.
Yeah.
And then we just sell them. We're not, I don't program. I just fucking, I'm a breeder of video game characters and I sell their babies.
like amiibos are the ultimate like point of purchase sort of thing for me. I'll just be walking through the aisle and I'm like, oh, no good games, look at games. Ooh, look at that like Animal Crossing amiibo. And it's just like, oh, it's on sale for what it shouldn't be, even more money on sale. So it's like, I just pick that crap up.
If by chance you're watching this stream at all, you could see all the money I've wasted on amiibo on screen right now. It is depressing.
Oh, I can't see that.
I see it in my mind's eye, and it's glorious.
Yeah. I want to come over to your house.
If you'd be hanging out in the Beam stream, maybe you'd be watching this stuff, you dicks.
Yeah.
I don't have the bandwidth for that.
True. Very true. You don't. Your phone just explodes.
Yeah. Boom.
Oh, man. Well, I know I've had you guys for over an hour now. I don't want to take up your entire day over there. Is there anything else that you two wanted to talk about?
That's probably most... I'll think of it all when we stop, of course.
You saw all my pictures from Japan, right? On my Facebook.
From where? Where did you go?
I went to Japan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What'd you do there?
Japanese stuff.
He lost weight. That's what he did. I lost weight.
I'm nice. 2 notches thinner on my belt.
Wow, congrats. And, I got to do that because I'm ballooning up again.
You should go to Japan. You can eat whatever the fuck you want all day long, fried food, and still lose weight.
Nice.
It's amazing.
I wish I could go to Japan. That'd be amazing.
I mean, the difference really is in those, like we were talking about before, it's the proportions, right? So, like, I just went to, like, I think Wiener Schnitzel with my son over the weekend, and I ordered a small drink. It came in, it looked like a 2-liter. I'm like, this is not medium?
Jeez.
It's awful.
Yep. I ordered a pizza last night, and so there's Domino's Pizza in Japan, which is the only place you can really order from to get delivered. And they will deliver you a pizza, and it's 9 inches. And so I got used to eating, you know, splitting a 9-inch pizza. And now I don't want to eat like a big 13-inch pizza. So my food's lasting a lot longer. That's good, right?
Yeah. Proud of you.
Yeah.
Well, they do other stuff to make you lose weight too, by just putting like, you know, things on the table that you will never eat, like chicken cartilage.
Yeah.
You're like, meh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Octopus eyeballs.
Corn and mayonnaise pizza.
Yeah.
Corn and mayonnaise pizza.
Raw egg. Actually,
so I never saw any of that stuff. I did see raw egg, but I did also see a candied baby squid that had its brains scooped out and replaced with a quail egg. But most of what I saw was tonkatsu and ramen and stuff, and it was fucking delicious.
I knew you were eating ramen every day as you tweeted about it.
Yeah.
Me too, no, but mine's the shitty American kind. My life is sad.
Are you ever going to come out for GDC?
I wish I could. Like, we... Oh, God. It is so hard for us to do anything, especially because, like, my wife works so much. And trying to plan any kind of trips is near impossible. I finally got her to go to MAGFest with me, which I'm still trying to bug you guys to go to sometime. And
I was gonna, but then I went to Japan.
Oh, you bitch.
Yeah.
You got next year, go to MAGFest.
Yep. All right. Next year I'll go to MAGFest.
Next January.
It does look pretty amazing. It does look pretty awesome.
Dale still goes every year, right?
I don't think he was there this year.
Oh, okay.
I guess he knew you weren't going, so.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, because Dale is always worried about what I'm doing.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would love to get out to the West Coast sometime and do something. I also have to worry about the fact that I'm a super fatty, so plane tickets and whether or not I could fit in a seat.
Oh, do you have...
So we just lost Andrew. No, there we go.
No, you got me. Yeah.
I didn't hear what you said. Do I what?
I was just saying, oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I'm a fatty. So
But the cool bit is the plane's not full. That means you're at least getting one extra seat that, like, no one – because, like, my whole thing is I spread out when people come onto the plane. Like, I'm not tiny either. I like to just sit there and just, like, try to keep people from coming to the aisle. So I'll take that middle seat. Maybe I'll buy a burrito to bring onto the plane. So I have that out and I'm, like, in full burrito mode. And then you get, like, the whole aisle to yourself just, like, looking on a plane. Full burrito mode.
Yeah. Man, I haven't gone full burrito mode in 3 months. I had a burrito or two in Kyoto, but they were not, like, I mean, this dude was really giving it a shot. But, like, I need to get some fucking serious mission burrito in my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the closest I've done is I've looked into possibly, like, taking a train cross-country.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad.
It's actually a delight. I love it. Mm-hmm.
Which I've considered really doing. It's just then it comes down to finances and, you know, finding a place to stay and affording the place to stay and affording the food and everything else out there. But who knows? Maybe one of these years I'll make it happen.
I'll buy you dinner every night. How's that sound?
Sounds good. I'll just curl up in your basement.
I sort of have a basement. It's a public space in the apartment, but nobody actually goes down there.
I think we saw, like, mattresses in the back room where Adam's at. You just back there in the office.
You could sleep in the green room.
That would be a fun life experience of, like, yeah, what'd you do while you were out in California? I slept in a game developer's green room. What?
It was like you and a whole bunch of old PS3 dev kits.
Yeah, this is...
They just boot up in the middle of the night and, like, keep me warm.
Yeah. They would.
Yeah. This is basically the island of lost toys back here. It's like, you know, all these things, and they're just piled together, and they're all starting to deteriorate, and they miss being played with by the human children. It's weird.
There's a lot of, like, weird things, like European power adapters and stuff back there, because, like, we used to have an IT guy that would go buy, like, cheap cables but not realize they weren't even American cables. So we just got a stockpile of those. We'll never
use. Amazing.
So many chairs with broken wheels. They're fucking everywhere.
Yeah, don't sit in any chair back there. That's the lesson.
No.
That's where they go to die. That's where they go to kill.
Yeah.
How many bodies are hidden back there?
Well, there's a rolled-up carpet here that looks like it might have someone inside it.
We don't fire people. They just disappear.
Yeah. What Adam doesn't know is he's never getting out of that room.
Yeah. He didn't even notice the plastic on the floor when you walked back there.
Yeah. You know, this does have a one-way lock. If you get locked in here, you cannot leave.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, so I actually am locked in here.
That is hilarious.
Let me out.
It's up to me to let him back in. Oh, this is going to be fun.
Don't let us down, Mike. Don't let us down.
No, I won't. I won't. There's a bucket if he has to go to the bathroom.
Something to or not.
Here's the bucket.
That's the lotion on the skin, Adam. Gets the hose again.
Or gets the dev kit again.
It's the dev kit again.
And it is getting really cold in here. I should probably fire up some of these dev kits. Why didn't I bring my jacket in here?
Why didn't you bring a power cable for your phone?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Why didn't you bring a splitter for your headphones?
Oh, because until you got here, we weren't even planning on doing this way. You're going to, like, I think you're going to come in on your own. But you know what actually happened is we didn't coordinate at all.
Yeah, no, we're terrible.
If you guys would have coordinated, that wouldn't have been the spirit of SML.
Yeah.
And I really do. I appreciate you guys being so supportive of my stupid show for as long as you have been. It's been nearly 200 episodes since, Adam, you first came on. And you guys have just, for some reason, been really receptive of us. And I definitely appreciate it.
Oh, no, anytime. And you've got radio voice now. I've listened to your voice become really good radio voice.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
Thank you.
Yeah, you could be on the air, like real airwaves, not this crap.
We should make a game that has an announcer in it again and have Joe be the announcer.
Believe it or not, I actually did my first voice for a game.
Oh, wow. Tell us that.
I'm the character Beat in Battlehigh 2 A Plus on the Xbox One.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was like a free update character. There's like some voice effects and modulation on the voice, but it's for story reasons, which I don't want to give away, clearly. But
sure,
it's still me, and then my name is in the credits, and there's like a thank you to the SML podcast in the credits, and like for me, that's fucking cool.
That is pretty awesome.
I can tell people I'm in a game.
I've never voiced in a game. I want a voice in a game, but I've never done it. That's amazing.
Well, put voices in your own games, Jesus.
Then I have to find other people. Unless it was just me. Every voice in Dragon Fantasy III by Adam Rippon.
Do it.
Yeah,
should. You should, Adam. That's probably it's inexpensive. You only live once, so give it a shot.
I actually have a friend, Chris Serrani, who is trying to get into video game voice acting or just voice acting in general. He's done a lot of voice work for like video game remix stuff, competitions that they do for MAGFest. They had a competition called Dwelling of Duels where a whole bunch of people just make a game remix and then they all listen to it at MAGFest and they pick winners. And the one that he was a part of with like three other people was this 20-minute long like rock opera, and he did every voice in it, and it's fantastic.
Wow,
that's awesome.
I think I'll actually play it on this show. So listen to this episode.
I'm always amazed at voice actors, because I sat in on a recording session a couple weeks ago for a show that I've been working on with Nickelodeon, and like hearing this stuff come to life, like these characters are only read on paper, and the way that they're so, they only have so much time and they get everything out perfectly, it blows my mind. It's awesome.
But yeah, Adam, I could probably get him to hook up with you for maybe a decent rate. I don't know. I'll do it free. I don't give a shit.
Just whatever it takes to get Dragon Fantasy on Xbox, really.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Someone on Twitch is saying you probably have a really fat cock. My name is Samantha, by the way. You're handsome. You're blind and stupid. So
she it's really hard to tell which one she's talking about, which one of us, but you know, thank you.
Considering the name is V Marvin 20, I'm not so sure that's a Samantha. So thanks, Marvin.
Shout out to Marvin.
What up, Marvin? Thanks for loving my allegedly fat cock with 3 K's, by the way. So a lot of cock.
AKK's back, you know.
It's a lowercase KKK.
Oh, yes, lowercase KKK.
So they're just kind of racist. It's a racist. It's a kind of racist, but really fat KKK dick. I think.
It's the only way to really interpret it.
I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how a dick joins the KKK. It's too weird to continue thinking about.
You can't discriminate. You can't discriminate against just dicks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not right. You have to be inclusive. Yeah, right? When you're part of the KKK, it's all about being inclusive.
Yeah, they're such an inclusive bunch.
Oh, God.
On that note, I think we'll wrap things up. Please come back soon. Don't make it be another year until we hear from you, Mike.
Yes. It shouldn't be. You know, the thing is, I should come back when we finally can talk about this stuff.
Exactly.
So
it'll be more fun. Yeah. As soon as you're able to talk about it, hit me up. I will schedule you guys on any day, any time, anything.
Awesome.
Aww.
So, I guess you too, Adam.
Oh,
Sure.
Not the guy who's been on your show for, like, how long ago was the 50th episode? I think it was the 50th episode was my first. How long ago was that?
Oh, God, I have no idea. Let me go into my folder. And then V Marvin came back saying they were going to ban or report me for showing my dick on stream. And then Doc Havoc, my friend Ian, is apparently lurking and ban them. So thanks, Ian. That is fantastic. Dragon Fantasy Pro Bass Challenge. Was that your first one?
Might have been.
That's episode 51.
51
properties. January 31st, 2014. So it's wow. nearly your 2 year anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah. It
what, is. What is that? Is that what, what's the item on the 2 years?
Oh yeah. What do you,
like spam?
I don't spam. Know. Yeah, it's a can of spam. It's coming up on your can of spam.
The present is a physical copy of Dragon Fantasy.
Yeah. I'll get you a physical copy of Dragon Fantasy. You buy me some spam.
Sounds good. Give me your address and I will mail you a can of spam. I swear right. to God.
But you got to unbox live on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wonder if there's got to be spam unboxings on YouTube.
That'd be amazing.
I don't know.
I haven't done an unboxing in a while. I haven't gotten anything cool into unbox lately.
I know, so boring. It's like I would unbox like an audio splitter probably in a week because it's what we need in here. So.
Yeah, that's a good plan.
I think the last one I did was I unboxed the Battleborn like GameStop special edition that had a mini figure with it, and it is like ridiculously mini. And I only did it because Loot Interactive, Dave from Loot Interactive, makes fun of all the collector's editions that I get. And for some reason, like the one episode, he's like, "Do you have a Battleborn collector's edition?" So when I saw GameStop had the one for like $9, I was like, "I need to get that and unbox it for Loot." And he loved it. He retweeted it out. He was thrilled. So I guess my new goal in life is to find the dumbest collector's editions and unbox them.
There's some pretty dumb ones now, as far as I can tell. I know going to the store, you're just like, really, they made that?
There's from game.uk, they have a Farming Simulator collector's edition.
Wow.
What does that come with?
I'd like a mini tractor figurine and just a bunch of dumb shit. It's hilarious.
I started to learn because I remember seeing a couple of these and I'm like, oh, those are just like those crappy like toys you get out of the 25-cent coin machine that you've just kind of put a sticker on. And now you've got like $10 extra like special edition.
That's like a little mini tractor figurine that has like art cards for different like farming brands. I had the thing bookmarked for a while and like I just closed it the other day. I should have kept it open. What was I thinking?
I just like it kills me that like stickers get to be put onto like features, and it's like, you know, stickers. Like, come
Yay,
on,
stickers!
Oh, that's gonna I be love awesome. Stickers. My door needs those.
Meanwhile, CD Projekt Red is just like, step it up, pussies.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't wait to see what's in the physical edition of iDarb.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, well, that would be bad. We can't afford much, but like we'd try to do something unique, and it'd probably have some sort of health hazard associated with it, so I don't know if we could pull that off. I'm always inclined to put food in something. It's like, here's your sausage links.
Oh, my Lord. That'd be amazing.
God, I wonder if Choice Provisions ever did anything with the pepperoni button we made.
Out of real pepperoni?
We made a button made out of real pepperoni.
That's pretty awesome.
Why?
It became very disgusting. Because we were all drunk all the time there.
Oh, makes sense.
Yeah.
The thing about shipping and like it's sitting in a warehouse for a day or two is like those are like that's where basically NIM lives. The secret of NIM, all those rats, they're just waiting for that shit.
Oh my Lord!
Every time I try to order food, that's like weird, like stuff that I missed from Michigan or whatever. It's like half of the time it's sort of like I don't know, kind of ripped into by something.
Speaking of ripped into by something, I just found this old Arkanoid cabinet here. This is awesome.
That's Kevin's.
Oh, wow. Wait, Kevin James?
No, Kevin Wilson.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we do cavort with the guy who works with Adam Sandler quite often, but.
Yeah.
Do you really? Because at this point, I would believe that.
We used to work with this guy named Kevin James who. He doesn't shy away from people mistaking him as Kevin James, that's for sure, online.
He enjoys it.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Oh, my Lord. You guys are the best. You really are. Definitely. Please come back soon.
We will.
As soon as you're good to talk about whatever you could talk about, let's do this again.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay.
Put it in the books. It'll probably be around March-ish, like early March. Let's just say that at the latest.
Well, March 18th is my birthday, so we'll just have a big birthday show.
We could have the big birthday bash. We could bring in people from all over the world, all your fans. Well, I don't know how many can...
Both of them.
Yeah, I'd say like a Skype room can handle that, I think.
Both of you guys, my two fans.
Yep.
Oh, you know, man. We promised to have a splitter cable, and Adam doesn't have to sit on a phone in a room surrounded by cement.
Yeah.
And never get out.
Yeah, and with no reception.
He'll still be in there by the time March rolls around.
And for those listening, the only reason he's in the room is we couldn't figure out how to get two headsets into one laptop. And then he's like, I'll use my phone, but he forgot to bring his power cable because it's almost out of power. So then he goes back to the furthest corner of the office, which is the storage room where we have a PC. And he's like, the PC doesn't work. And I'm like, plug it in. So he plugged it in. That's the way to solve it. But then the USB ports, hardly any of them work except for one. So he's got that in, the charge cable. So he's bent over right now. I can visualize this, and I know that's what you're doing. You're bent over to almost floor level because your cable was like 3 inches or something like that.
Yeah.
Basically with your face next to the back of this PC that's like barely put together.
Blowing dust in his face.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. A fan blowing right into his face. And he's locked dust. In. Because it's a one-way door. Yeah. And it's a one-way door into the room. Surrounded, and the whole building is like an old engine factory, and this is like a room that's all cement. So that's what he's doing right now to make sure you hear him 50% of the time because his reception is so bad.
Spiders and asbestos.
Yep. It was that or the virtual splitter that we tried to do, which would play back what I was saying about a half a second after I said it really loud into my ear. And it made it impossible for me to speak. It just made I sounded like I was even more stupid than I actually am. It was really weird.
Oh, man. So I think the perfect ending to this segment of the show would be to tell you another troll came into the chat room.
Yeah.
And here is his message. You're a fat, bald fuck. Get your fat ass up and go to the gym. You fags are probably still virgins.
Oh man, sometimes I wonder if I adopted my kids.
So do you guys have any final words to top that?
I don't know.
You know, it's hard when he's right.
Oh, man, always fun having those guys on, but time to handle some other stuff. And I think CJ, are you finally here?
Yes, I've escaped from the bathroom. It was pulling me, but I finally got out.
You done shitting for now?
For now.
For now. So speaking of shit, I guess this has no segue.
Time to continue
at all.
The episode?
Yeah. Speaking of shitty, time to keep going with this shitty, horrible show. How does it feel to know you're on episode 250?
Fuck. I mean, I missed the highlight of 250, but still,
yeah,
wow.
You did. Hey.
But this is like almost 50 episodes that I've been
tried to get you on. But
yeah.
You're like, well, my tummy. Wah, wah, wah.
Well, I mean, food will do that to you if it's bad. I think I have special milk that's like almond milk so that I can actually drink it, and I think it went bad in the fridge, and then I had some and I didn't know.
I thought like the whole point of vegan milk is that it doesn't go bad.
Well, is I don't know.
Almond milk isn't milk. It's like almond juice.
Well, I know it's not milk. That's why I can drink it. I can't have dairy. So I don't know. I mean, after a while, I imagine it goes bad. There was ice chunks in it because it was so cold in the fridge for some reason.
Huh? Yes. Thank you.
Ashley just walks in. You recording? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I heard her.
She's like waving behind me like, what are you doing? I'm talking to myself on the microphone for my own health. But yeah, let's wrap up this episode. We have a tiny bit of news, a handful of quick reviews. So let's just dive right into things. We covered last episode that two new Battlefield games hit EA Access with Bad Company 2 and Battlefield 3. And more games are coming to the vault soon.
Ooh.
Have you heard these?
Yes, I have, actually. I'm not going to be surprised. But still, it's fun.
Dead Space Ignition, which... whatever. Zuma's Revenge, which, fun. Good stuff. Madden 17, not surprised. End of the football season's coming. And then Chris will be excited. Skate 3 is coming to the vault.
I mean, that's pretty cool. If I had EA Access, I'd play that game, too.
Yeah, you should get EA Access.
I really do want to, because I want to play games like Unravel and Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2.
It's $30 for a year.
Yeah, I should get around
for
to
a
getting a
full
job.
Year with 40 games in the vault.
Yeah, and Matt, I mean, it's not interesting to us, but the Madden 17 is a pretty good deal. That's pretty fast for that game. Like, what, 4 months? Maybe
no,
five?
August to, like, February or March.
That's still, like, that is... even 6 months, that's really fast for those games to wind up in there.
Not really. I think they did it last year with Madden 16. Basically, when the football season's over, they're like, well, no one has a reason to buy this anymore. Give it for free.
At that point, why does anybody buy it? Just wait until it's free.
True. And then something else with EA Access is on March 16th, EA Access members are going to get a 10-hour trial for Mass Effect Andromeda.
That's pretty cool. I mean, 10 hours in Mass Effect is basically nothing.
I can't wait. I don't know if it's going to be like some of the other games where they're going to have a cap on like how far in the story you can go.
Well, I imagine with 10 hours, you're not going to get that far anyway. Mass Effect games are pretty big.
Dragon Age had a 10-hour trial, and they limited that to like the first area in the game.
Hmm. That's weird. But
you know,
then
it's just so you didn't, blaze through the story as quick as you can and just be like, you know what, I played enough. I'm not going to fuck with this anymore. So I'm going to assume that 10-hour, it locks you to a certain amount story-wise, and then it has the online aspect as well, the multiplayer.
Oh, do they still have that multiplayer stuff in Mass Effect? Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that many people enjoyed it.
Dude, so
really
the online in Mass Effect 3 was the shit.
Oh, I didn't know people actually liked that.
Oh my god, it was so fun.
Huh.
Yeah, that shit was really good. If it's anywhere near as fun as it was in 3, I'm on board. I can't wait.
Okay, I never actually bothered, because, well, I'm still on Mass Effect 2, so I haven't even bothered launching 3.
Yeah. And then the other bit of news I have is Shovel Knight. We talked about how Shovel Knight is getting split up into all the different campaigns, and then the full package itself is going to be called the Treasure Trove. The Treasure Trove will launch first in the Nintendo Switch quote unquote launch window, so probably like sometime in March, maybe early April, and it will be $24.99, and that will be, you know, Shovel Knight, all the expansions, all future content. Plague of Shadows will be $9.99 as a standalone. Other consoles and standalone versions will follow in April.
Yeah, $9.99 was about what I had estimated for the like the solo things.
Yeah, so it is debuting on the Switch and then coming to other platforms later.
Huh, that's fine.
Which makes sense. Shovel Knight started on the Wii U, so makes sense.
Huh. Didn't actually know that.
Yeah. And came
I
to other
it
platforms
was a Steam
later.
Thing first.
Steam and Wii U.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Normally, indie games wind up on Steam. Pretty early.
Started off, you know, because Nintendo. So
yeah.
And then it came to PlayStation, and then like a week or two later, it hit Xbox.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, they've managed to put that game pretty much everywhere.
Yeah. It's on Vita, 3DS, coming to the Switch.
I imagine 3DS is actually a great place to play that game.
Probably. Vita.
It looks like a game that would be really good, like, mobily.
Nice. But anyway, let's dive into reviews.
Yeah, let's do that. Think?
We got a handful to blaze through. The first one we're going to talk about, this will be a quickie, is As Divine Hearts, developed and published by Kemco. It released January 10th on the PS3, PS4, and Vita for $14.99, and it is a cross-buy title, meaning you get it on all three platforms for $15. One year ago, the world of As Divine was enveloped in a brilliant flash of light. Since that time, the influence of Shadow has only continued to grow ever more powerful across the face of the land. Although the event itself was undoubtedly connected with the heavens, few people seem to have realized the far-reaching implications of what transpired. Now turning to the present, a surprising revelation awaits a young man, Zach, his childhood friend Stella, in the capital from a chubby cat claiming to be none other than the light deity and declaring the world to be on the verge of destruction. We originally covered this game on the Wii U back on episode 187, so for a full in-depth listen about the game, it is classic 16-bit style role-playing game. So if you're a fan of Super Nintendo style RPGs, you're really going to enjoy this game. The big difference here is that on the Wii U it was $9.99, and now it is $14.99 for PS4, PS3, and Vita. It gets you all three platforms, so it's basically $5 per platform.
Yeah.
It does share one unified trophy list, and normally I would like immediately give this a buy it because I really enjoyed the game, but it is missing one massive key feature that I believe this game needed to have.
What's that?
Cross saving.
If it's gonna have the same achievement list, it should have the same save as well.
Like, I'm totally cool with the extra $5 to get on all the platforms and all that other stuff, but it seems like it is such a missed opportunity to not be able to start the game on the PS4, and then if you're going on a trip, download the save onto your Vita and continue playing there. You know, as it stands, you can beat it on one platform, and then you don't really have much incentive to play through it again on another platform because there's no fresh trophies to go for, or it seems like a missed opportunity not having cross save. For $15, the increased price, I'm going to give it a try. I mean, it's the only Kemco RPG on the PS4. It's an enjoyable series. If you only have one platform that you plan on playing it on, I think it's worth checking out and grabbing. If you have multiple systems that you were going to play it on, I think cross save is just, it's criminal to not include it on an RPG.
Yeah, I can see that.
But yeah, just a quickie on that one. It's still an awesome game. I hope they look into adding cross-save functionality to it. I was just so bummed when I put a bunch of time into it on my Vita. I was like, let me continue this on my PS. Oh, I don't see an option for cross-saving. This sucks.
Yeah.
Nah. It looks good, though, on the PS4. Nice, vibrant colors, pretty looking. So, again, check out episode 187 for a more in-depth review on that title. I just wanted to cover the additions and changes with the Sony version of the game.
Cool.
Next game to talk about is called Don't Open the Doors, developed and published by Anton Riot. It released November 11th on Steam for $7.99, so a little bit of an older one here. Claymation action-adventure in an odd world of talking pumpkins, blue trees, and stuff like that. That is the official description.
Yep.
So, CJ, what'd you think of this one?
One second, I think about that. Yeah, the game's about as good as a cough. No, I'm joking. Anyway, Don't Open the Doors is an odd top-down action-adventure game. The first thing you'll notice is the awesome claymation style to the game. I love the way everything looks and how so many objects that are just random can be squished. And I love the animation of the clay squirting out when you squash something.
Oh, God.
and the sound it makes is just so fun. It's hilarious. The gameplay is pretty simple. You walk around a clay world from an almost top-down perspective, sort of like the camera style in Diablo. While walking around, you will run into interesting creatures and people who will have quests for you, and as well as some characters that just have random quirky comments when you walk by them. While talking to people, you get to choose dialogue options, some of which are funny and others are more serious, kind of like a Walking Dead Telltale style, or Mass Effect is probably the better comparison to the way that the dialogue works. I really like that it notes the fact that some dialogue options will just end the conversation after it shows you what it's going to say. It'll have like a little bracket and it'll be like, this will end the conversation. That way, you know, like you know what to say if you want to get out of a conversation quick, or you'll know not to say that if you want to learn more information.
Yeah. So you don't inadvertently fuck things up.
Exactly. The game also has combat, which is so-so. While it works, it is a bit weird and difficult to use. The main problem with the combat comes from the long-ranged enemies that you have to dodge and then attack and hit like in between their attacks. The problem is that their attacks are too frequent, not leaving much of a window for the animation of attacking, meaning you will get hurt almost every time you try to kill the enemy. As you progress through the game, you'll get new abilities to make surviving easier, as it can be quite difficult. I noticed the game actually automatically sets you on hard, and you'll have to change it if you don't want to play on that difficulty.
Ooh.
That's like hidden in the options, so if you didn't check the options and you just went right into the game, you wouldn't know.
Oh, fun.
The name didn't really make sense until I got into the game and realized that the game was all about closing off all the doors. In the doors, there are these different worlds that look different and have enemies as well as environmental traps that can be dangerous. At the beginning, the only way to heal is by picking up health items, but later in the game, you can craft healing items. There's other upgrades you can also get, like you can place bombs on the ground and then run away and it'll blow up. And that might be more useful for killing off some of those long-range guys, because the animation doesn't take nearly as long. This game does come in at a cheap price for its content and feels worth it. It definitely isn't a game that will leave a lasting impression, but it has enough humor to keep you entertained for a while, which is good enough for $7.99. I'd say try it.
Nice. Sounds fun.
Yeah. I mean, $7.99, it's not bad.
I like the visual style, but I have, I don't know, a soft spot for claymation-looking things.
Yeah, claymation. I always like that.
And then apparently my console heard me say claymation and thought I said notification.
Wow.
Proud of you, system. Oh, man. Next game to chat about is called Super Magical, developed by our friends at Super Awesome Hyperdimensional Mega Team. You might remember those guys. We covered one of their other games recently, published by Tama Games. This one released January 17th on the PlayStation Vita for $4.99. I believe it is still on sale. Has a launch sale. I'm going to look this up. Super Magical has a launch sale. I just don't know how long until. Until Valentine's Day. So a month-long launch sale for $2.49.
Wow, 50% launch sale?
So hella cheap. Join Nina, the little witch, in a fun magical adventure that will take you on a trip through different lands full of puzzles, spells, candy, and minks, magic-loving creatures who have invaded Nina's world along with her evil witch sisters. Now you have no choice but to use your magical powers to send them all packing if you want to save the day. This plays a lot like Bust a Move, where it's basically, you know, shoot a bubble at other bubbles and make them disappear, but instead of bubbles, they're little monsters that you're flinging. It's presented horizontally instead of vertically. You can control the game either with the touch screen to kind of grab like a little lever to it's basically invert control, so if you're dragging down, you're aiming upwards, kind of like you're pulling the back of a little lever to where you're aiming. And then you can either let go to shoot your orb, or you can use like the X button, which I found significantly easier than trying to aim and let go without fucking up where I was aiming.
Yeah.
You can also use the analog stick for aiming, but my preferred method was to aim using the touchscreen and fire with a button. It just seemed to work a lot easier for me. Gameplay is simple. You know, you shoot orbs at monsters and make them disappear. If you shoot far enough back and there's nothing connecting the rest of them, then they'll all disappear. You can, you know, collect items from shops as you travel through to cook magical spells to make things easier for you. You have different followers and helpers that have unique abilities that you use by collecting bottles of soda that you can unveil. Unleash your magic abilities. There's a tile matching side game that you could win extra items or win money. Tons of levels in the game. I think there's like 70 some levels in the game, so there's a shitload to do. My only gripe is like the one sound effect in the game. Every time you complete a stage and then it like opens up the next area, it's this really grating, like cling, cling, cling. It drove me nuts. I had to kill the volume in the game because it was just driving me crazy.
Interesting.
Visually, the game is gorgeous. If you've played Rise and Shine, you know how awesome these guys are with visuals. So overall, at $250, this is an absolute buy. It even at $5, I think it's worth picking up.
All right, cool. So I didn't know that they had two games coming like right back to back.
This is actually an older one of theirs that was on mobile and
ported.
Yeah, we actually discussed this in the interview.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot
so
about
So you should
that.
Go back and listen to that interview if you haven't.
Or if you forgot about it.
You piece of shit. Oh, man. Next game to chat about is called Toby, The Secret Mind, developed by Lucas Navratil. I hope I'm saying that right. Published by Head Up Games. It released January 20th on the Xbox One for $9.99. A peaceful way of life in a small village in the mountains was thrown into disorder. Someone has kidnapped most of its residents. A couple of brave hearts tried to rescue their friends, but none of them has returned. Little Toby didn't want to just sit and wait, so he decided to find them by himself. He went near to the deep forest, but he soon realized this is just the beginning of a big adventure. This is a more colorful version of Limbo for the most part. It's 2D platforming. It has the very familiar silhouette-style visuals, but instead of everything just being black and gray and then other shades of gray and black, this has, you know, bright, colorful backgrounds. Reminds me a lot of Feist in Badlands, where they have colorful backgrounds with the silhouette-style visuals.
Yep. That's what I was thinking when I saw it.
And then they also have different locales. So in one area, you might be in like a lush forest-like area. Then you might go to like a desert area, a snowy area, underground caves. So there's a lot of varied visuals and locales to go through. Gameplay is your standard 2D platformer puzzle, which, you know, it's not going to reinvent the genre, but it's, you know, it does what it does well. It's an enjoyable game. Some of the puzzles are, I don't want to say difficult, but they're just tricky enough to get you to think outside of what you're doing.
Cool.
A lot of hidden areas, because a lot of the villagers that you have to track down are hidden in little secret hideaway areas. And many of them also, like a lot of the puzzles, will require you to find hidden areas. As just, you know, you can't get through a certain area, so you have to find an alternate way around. And whether that's through a cave behind you or a breakable floor that you got to jump on a few times, it's good stuff. The game, I think the biggest downside to the game is that a lot of it is trial and error. Which I...
Okay.
I'm not I can understand it in a game like this and like Limbo where, you know, there's tricks up ahead, but you're not going to find out until it already kills you. Thankfully, the game is very generous with checkpoints for the most part. An avalanche stage was kind of irritating in that you get really close to the end and then you die, but there's no checkpoints because it's a moving avalanche. Kind of like an auto scroller for the most part. So yeah. There is some segments of, you know, pretty harsh trial and error that you just kind of gotta die to move on and figure out what you're doing wrong and just work through it. thankfully, the game quote unquote rewards you with an achievement for dying 100 times.
Oh, that's like that consolation prize and achievement in Battle Block.
Even better. Why don't you look up how much that achievement is worth?
Isn't it something stupid? Like a 100 gamer score?
Just look it up. Look it up. Have fun.
It's 200 gamer score? Wow! There's so many other achievements that are like 10.
Yeah. A lot of the small achievements are just like story related. And then there's, you know, the two of them for the endings, one for dying 100 times, and then the other 350 spread across two achievements are for finding all your friends in the game.
Wow. Yeah. It is actually kind of funny that it's that much, but at the same time, it's like, why?
Yeah. Overall, it's a fairly easy completion. It's not a super long game, but for $10, I think it's worth trying. If you're looking for another Limbo style experience, I would definitely buy it. If you aren't too sold on a 2D puzzle platformer, if you're kind of sick of the genre, this won't do anything new for you.
Yeah, I definitely know some people that are getting tired of all of these puzzle platformer games.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed it. So, personal preference is I think you should buy it if you got the $10.
Cool.
And final game to chat about today is called Ruby Grim Eclipse, developed by Jordan Scott, published by Rooster Teeth Games. This one released January 17th. On Xbox One, PS4 for $19.99. There is also Team Juniper DLC available for, what is it, $4.99?
Yeah.
Ruby Grim Eclipse is a four-player online co-op hack-and-slash game based upon Rooster Teeth's international hit series, Ruby. Get ready for intense combat action as you battle Grim across familiar locations of Remnant, including new areas never before seen in the show. Play as Ruby, Weiss, Blake, and Yang in this character-driven adventure that explores new storylines, new Grim types, and a new villain. CJ, what'd you think?
All right. God, I'm... wish I wasn't sick.
You're fine up until I ask you to talk, and you're like...
That's because I'm not talking until you ask me to talk. Anyway, Ruby Grim Eclipse is a co-op hack-and-slash game based off the Rooster Teeth online show called Ruby. As a fan of the show and Rooster Teeth in general, I knew I had to try this as soon as I heard it was coming to the consoles. The gameplay is very fun and easy to learn. The game is played in a third-person perspective and plays like a standard hack-and-slash-slash beat-em-up game. You use the X button to do quick attacks and the Y button to do heavy. As per usual, you can combine different button combinations to create a combo. There are also range attacks, which you can do by pressing RT, and ultimate attacks, which must be charged up by doing other hits, and then you can execute them with LB and RB at the same time. I really like the fact that each character actually plays differently and had different skills that you can unlock when you level up your character that allows them to play in a certain way. My personal favorite character was Weiss due to her longer and more damaging ranged attacks that once leveled up can even freeze enemies in blocks of ice. Her combo attack also works really well and very necessary if you're playing alone because you're going to need these combo attacks to actually freeze the enemies in blocks of ice as well. She's just completely... that's why they call her the Ice Queen. That's one of her lines in the thing.
That's why they call me the Ice Queen.
Then you have Blake, which I personally played as a support class. She starts off the worst, but once level up, she's very powerful and can stun enemies with her ranged attacks. This stun lasts a good 5 seconds, giving you plenty of time to recharge your aura or your health if you need to. Yang is a heavy melee-based character, and her ultimate is very good as it blows back enemies, kind of like the Titan doing a Fist of Havoc in Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
However, to make up for her strong melee, she has the worst range. It is very little range, and it does very little damage. So, you know, in order to balance the character, it's like strong melee, bad ranged attack. Then you finally have Ruby, which was my least favorite character to play. Her melee is okay and her range is okay. She's a very balanced character, but because of that, she's kind of boring to play. I also seemed to have some camera issues while playing with her, which other people I was playing with agreed that the camera seems to have a mind of its own, but that only really seems to be a problem with her. It may be a fact that she just gets pushed back so much further with her ranged attacks that caused this strange issue. I'm not sure. The campaign is pretty fun, but short, only spanning around 3 hours, which may be a good thing because the game can be very repetitive due to the every mission feeling pretty much the same as the last. There are countless times that you will go into a wave-based defend mode to protect an objective in the game, and when you aren't doing that, you are destroying vats or power cords of some nature. It doesn't help that the feeling of repetitiveness when the game only has a few different types of enemies, although, on the bright side, some of the enemy types are actually different and aren't just a reskin of the same enemy like you see in some other games. There's also a horde mode, which is more of the wave-based defense. This time you're in charge of defending cores from waves of Grimm. As you progress, you move to new locations with more cores to defend. There are a total of 10 waves in horde and 5 cores. However, you only ever defend 2 cores at a time. To help you, you can build turrets, which cost money that you can collect from killing Grimm. These turrets are quite powerful, and if you're playing in solo, you can just place a shotgun turret at 1 core and not even worry about it. The shotgun turret will kill everything at that core, allowing you to protect the other one.
Nice. Yeah, I haven't dabbled in the horde stuff yet. I really should.
Yeah, I mean, horde is okay. It's just more of the wave stuff, so it's like you kind of got enough of that wave stuff once you were done with the campaign.
Yeah.
As I stated earlier, this is a co-op game. It can be played solo if you prefer, but I highly recommend co-op, as it will make the game much more enjoyable as well as easier.
Yeah.
The game does scale by how many players you have, but I still find the campaign easier with 4 players because of the potential for team attacks. Team attacks are enabled when another player uses an ultimate but doesn't quite kill the enemies within the ultimate's range. Then another player can press RB and do an attack, which can finish off the enemy. Funny enough, in horde mode, I actually find that solo is easier to manage. Maybe because Blake with the stun ranged attacks can just destroy every enemy and take your time while doing it.
Yeah.
But
by the way, her stun range attack is insane for getting that 100 hit achievement in the game.
Yeah, that's how I wound up getting it. Because it's just like, and then in the horde mode, because I was playing solo, I wound up getting a streak that was like 170. And it was like, damn, Blake is great for combos.
Control.
I'd say Blake is probably the best character if you're going to play her alone. She starts off weak, but she quickly becomes the most useful when it comes to actually taking on the campaign, especially alone. The game does have some bugs, which wasn't completely unexpected, as it is their first game. I have fallen through the map before, and there was times where reviving wouldn't work as intended. The revive bar would go up completely, but the player would still be down, which I think you actually had that problem.
Yeah, I think Shiz did too.
Yep. And it's a little bit weird. It's like you were getting credit for the revives to unlock that reviving ability, but you weren't actually picking us up.
Yeah.
And it was like, what was going on? And then we eventually just respawned after 45 seconds. Countering rarely works. I'd press B when the prompt would show up, but I'd still be hit. I don't know what's up with that.
I didn't really have trouble with it. If you take too long to hit it, you're going to get hit. Or if you get surrounded, you know, you'll just get overwhelmed. There will be too many to take care of. But if you hit it right when it pops up, you know, there were times where I would be surrounded by 5 enemies and I would just because I was just stunning them while someone else was trying to kill things.
I mean, it's possible that just the prompt doesn't go away quick enough, making you think that it's not working, because, I mean, the prompt shows up for a while.
Or you're just a scrub.
I mean, Shiz was also complaining a lot about it.
Well, we know Shiz is a scrub.
Oh, yeah, I mean, we do. I mean, come on, he was raging while I was able to get that horde achievements, like first try solo. He was getting real pissed. Also, there was a glitch I was thankful not to run in on Xbox One, which would cause you to lose progress. On the bright side, that glitch is confirmed to be fixed in an upcoming update.
Yeah, they did send out an email alerting us that it's an issue that is being worked on. I didn't encounter it, thankfully. So
I don't think anybody Shiz encountered it, but he only lost like 1 level, which, so it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, you know, he could cry more.
yeah. But nobody else that was playing it in our group had any problems with that. I'm happy that that wasn't the case, because I saw people reporting online that they lost, like, a lot of progress.
Wow.
And I was just like, oof, I really hope that doesn't happen to me when I'm playing the game. Luckily it didn't, and I managed to get all 1,000 gamer scores. So
wow. Nice.
Yeah, it was definitely a fun time. Overall, if you're a fan of the show, there's no question. You should buy it. You probably already have bought it. But if you've never seen the show and you're looking for a fun hack and slash game, I'd say try it. The value is only really there if you love the show or if you have other people to play it with in co-op.
Yeah, I'm going to throw an alternate opinion here that if you are playing by yourself, it might not be worth it at $20. Just because I tried playing solo before I played in the group with you guys, and it just seemed too brutal to go by yourself. I mean, granted, I was level one and it was just starting off, but
yeah, because once I was able to do pretty well alone, but I already had a character that was leveled up from doing co-op.
Yeah, this is so. Definitely a game that you want to have a group of friends for.
Exactly.
It's designed to be played with a group of friends.
This is a niche title that's like you have to have two qualifiers. You have to have friends, and you have to be into the show, or you're just not going to care for it.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, to be fair, I'm not really into the show, and I had a lot of fun with it.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's just a fun third-person hack and slash. I mean, granted, if you're a fan of the show, you're going to like it that much more.
And you're probably going to not be bothered by the bugs that other people would be, just because you're like, but it's Ruby.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the game could definitely use a few patches. I know some people talking about the PC version are still hoping for some patches, so I'm not sure how quickly we'll see all the glitches fixed in the game. But I'm definitely eager to see what they do with Ruby 2.
Yep. I mean,
Ruby Tuesday, the video game.
Is there going to be a 2?
Maybe.
We might find out. Or they'll just keep doing more DLCs, which I'm all right with. New teams are always cool.
Yeah, I really had fun with it, too. I thought it was kind of rough around the edges when I started, but by the end, I got used to everything there, and I was just having fun.
And my only real complaint with the game, besides the bugs, is just how repetitive it gets after a little while. Because it is, the campaign's only 3 hours, and if you want to really get your money's worth out of it, you're going to be playing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, because you want to get all the characters leveled up. And I do want to give a shout out to Shiz for breaking his controller by doing his friggin' jump dash constantly instead of running through the game normally.
But I mean, in the last boss battle, which I won't spoil, but if you're playing alone, you gotta constantly be dashing.
Yeah.
Normally
with the dash in the game, there's a cooldown, so you can't just spam it like crazy. But if you jump and dash, as soon as you land, you can jump and dash again.
Yep, but it will be brutal to your LB button.
Yeah. Ask Shiz about that.
And that comes right off of, I was just playing Transformers Rise of the Dark Spark, which is also LB to dash. So my controller's not looking too fine either.
Thankfully, my controller is doing good. I know bumpers and elites, some people have issues with, but mine's doing good. And I have the TE replacement at Best Buy anyway, so if it gets fucked up, whatever.
Yep, who cares?
I got that shit covered. Speaking of elites, I think I'm getting a third one tomorrow.
Oh, why?
Because someone on Craigslist is selling a Gears Elite for $65.
And are you sure you trust them?
Nope, but fuck it.
Why not?
just sold some movies tonight and got some cash, and if it works out, cool. If it doesn't, well, then hopefully I don't get stabbed.
Yeah, that would suck for the show.
Eh, would it really?
I mean, maybe for loot. They'd be sad not to see your stuff anymore.
They'd be sad that they couldn't record on Thursday. But, yeah, on that note, that's about it for this episode. Thanks again to Mike Micah, Adam Groupon. For hanging out for the first big chunk of the show, and to CJ for missing all of that because you were shitting.
Well, you know, bathrooms do that to you.
Music this episode is some more of the January Dwelling of Duels competition. I mentioned the massive rock opera while talking with Mike and Adam, so I'm going to play that one. That is Prince of Darkness, Aelshan, Flick, Connor Engstrom, and Wildcat doing a massive musical that's just insane, covering games from like Excitebike, Mock Rider, Paperboy, Super Hang-On. 20 minutes long. It is insane. You have got to check out this song. It's probably going to be the only song because it's 20 fucking minutes long.
Yeah, 20 minutes is a long one.
But it's worth it. So, CJ, final words?
Explosion sounds.
In the year 20XX, war was beginning. A dark overlord known as the Soup rules the Minnesota Territory with an iron fist, with an army of Viking bikers to enforce his will. In the Minnesota Bank Stadium, a crowd is gathered. Fists raised, and the mob shouts to the sky. Around the faded remains of the 50-yard line, a ring of Vikings rev their engines and circle the last hope of the people of Minnesota. He is our hero. On a steel horse he rides. He's wanted. Whoa, no, that's Tommy. He used to work on the docks. This is our hero, the Bike Kid.
Send in the Bike Kid. Send in the Bike Kid. Right now. Right now. Send in the Bike Kid. Send in the Bike Kid.
Situation I'm in here, and you probably want to know how I got here, or not, but this is my story, so I gotta tell you, right? Anyway, it's like this. I wasn't always the Bike Kid. This story goes way back to when I was just a regular teenager, trying to make a dime and get everyone's newspapers delivered on time. And in Minneapolis, we know something about the time. Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourself in a lesson for how to deliver papers.
Tell them, Bike Kid.
Mr. Stevens, here's your paper. Mrs. Thompson, here's one for you. Everybody on my paper route gets those stock quotes and the funnies too. Doesn't matter if it's raining. Me and my crew got a job to do.
We're paper boys
and paper girls.
Paper boys. Oh, we, oh, we, oh.
Me and my pal
Years is a tough job, but somebody's gotta do it. A big race came to town with a grand prize big enough. I'd win and go to school, get a good job and stuff. I could learn a useful trade, do more than ride a bike. Major in technology, maybe minor in art or psych. But Todd wanted to be the best, and so he entered the race. Before I get that prize, he'd make me beat his pace. He didn't need that money, just wanted to... Hey, whoa, what's wrong with my mic? So, that was that. Todd went off to business school, and I did the only thing I could. I traded in my trusty 10-speed for something a little more. Exciting! Flatten the hills, beats all you ever saw. No, sorry, I did it again. That was those Duke boys. Anyway, this is where you'd expect a training montage, switching between the scenes of the kid racing motorcycles and Todd studying for his MBA. But we have no idea how to convey that without video. So instead, here's 8 bars of Vince DiCola's training montage from Rocky IV.
Just regular things, like people coming to visit the biggest wall of twine. A mysterious figure called The Suit had appeared on the political scene and rose to power in time with promises of bringing Vikings back to the north. At first, people thought he was crazy, but then the Vikings' jobs really did start happening. The Minneapolis Craigslist was chock-full of listings for raiding parties. Next thing you knew, anyone who could drive or ride a motorcycle while swinging a sword or an axe had guaranteed work pillaging and looting neighboring towns. And it turns out, Vikings vote. So the next thing we knew, a guy who literally called himself The Suit and ran on a platform of enslaving most of the population was voted in as governor.
Who could save Minnesota?
The Viking.
But who is the Viking? I never kept up much with politics, but when the Suit's Vikings started turning up at races, I had to take notice. Mostly because it's hard to ignore it when other racers have access. Well, I kept winning anyway. It was around then people started calling me Bike Kid. I spent what should have been my senior year of college outriding one crisis after another. Until... Bike.
faces, crowds of pumped. And who are they shouting for? Who's my kid? Anyway, now I'll have to ride like the wind to get away. So I'll win this race. Hey, wait, is it me that's cheering? Am I the one they call my kid? I guess that I am. So what do I do now that they think that I am the hero? Oh, yeah, I'm the bike kid. And I'll fight these Vikings. You can count on bike kid.
So our heroes set out on a road trip to suit suites at the old stadium. Too devastated to even look at the bike, he packed up his car and drove. Oh yeah, I'd been riding bikes so long, I forgot I never actually learned how to drive. My story, how I became the Bike Kid. I started as a paper boy and lost my best friend, and then got him back again, and we battled a comic book supervillain.
I guess all that's left now is to play some dramatic music and roll the credits, right? Dang, nice tacos. Can we get a choir? Yeah, that's nice. But you know what this story really needs? Some 1980s electronic drums and synthesizers.
Yeah, I'm around.